The scripture reading this morning comes from Joel chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Joel 1, verses 10 through 12. The field is wasted, the land mourns, for the grain is ruined, the new wine is dried up, the oil fails. Do the same, you farmers, dwell, you vine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field has perished. The vine has dried up, and the fig tree is withered. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Truly joy has withered away from the sons of men.
Well, thank you for that reading. Farmers is a key word in there. I wanted you to think about during that reading what's happening there. Tom, thank you for the well-worded prayer. Good morning, brethren and friends. Good morning. We do have a good crowd this morning. We had a good Bible study. We do have visitors. Thank you for coming, being here, being part of us. You are welcome here at any time we assemble. We want to go to heaven when we pass on. We certainly like to teach what the Bible teaches for you. In order to do that, be willing to submit to the gospel of Jesus Christ and obey the gospel of Christ. Truly, when I seen Barry Gibb got his hair cut just for a second, I couldn't tell who that was. We're in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, where we want to start reading this morning. Galatians chapter 6, get your Bibles out. Fire up that, whatever you fire up, that download. Galatians chapter 6. Let's begin reading verse 7. Paul says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap life eternal. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we do not grow weary," he says. "So, therefore, while we have opportunity, let us be good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith." What do you want to be when you grow up? You know, I love to ask that question to kids, really young kids. It's really cool when you ask them, "Hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" You hear all kinds of things. You hear astronaut. You hear, want to be, it just goes from fireman to astronaut, all kinds of different things. In fact, me and my pal Bill, when I was growing up, we were going to be the first people on Mars because Neil beat us out at the moon landing. So we decided to set our sights on Mars. And I remember, I really thought I was going to be an astronaut. I wanted to be that guy. And, if you had a shed, we stole every board you had, nails, we had a tree house. And those orange life jackets you wear, very big, fluffy, we used to wear them around the neighborhood. Those were our rocket belts. You know, 110 degrees in July, and we walked around with a life jacket on. But we were going to be an astronaut. And I remember Josiah, when he was three. "What do you want to be when you grow up, Josiah?" "I want to be a monkey." And his room, he got his room, we still got it. There's thousands of monkeys, stuffed monkeys everywhere. Kind of worried us for a while. I remember thinking about that. Then we thought, well, there's a lot of zoos. He'd probably get a job, do a banana gig. I did that. We got through that. The highlight of Parker's stay with us, and he stayed with us last week when his parents were at the Obamas, was Tuesday morning when the trash guy came. Parker wants to be a trash dump truck driver guy. And, you think about it. What's more cooler than driving around in the loudest and the biggest truck around? And the guy that pulls that lever that smashes that trash, I'm telling you what, that's a job to have. Watch that stuff get smashed. And he's an off. He didn't want to drive away. Well, what are you going to be when you grow up? I can tell you what you're going to be when you grow up. I can tell you what every single person in this room is going to be when you grow up. In fact, you're already there. Every single one of us in this room are farmers. We're farmers. In fact, we're spiritual farmers. That's what we are. Whether you know it or not, that's what you are. You're going to be a farmer. I like what one writer said about that. He said, "You may never put a grain of wheat in the ground or wear bibs overalls and drive a tractor, but in the eyes of God," he said, "you're a farmer." I like that because everything you say and do in this life, everything that you do, the deeds that you do, the words that you speak, everything that comes from your life, they're going to grow. That's a seed that's planted. And that's going to grow. And that's going to bear fruit. And out of that fruit, there's going to be a harvest time that's going to come. You're a farmer, I'm a farmer, we're all farmers. We are planting a lot. All of us. And I'll guarantee you that we're going to reap the harvest. You're mere farming, and in the words of Galatians 6, we're all sowing. All right? So we're sowing a seed. All of us. By our life. How people see our life. Now the trouble with that is, even though we just read that, we just talked about it a little bit, the trouble with that, we know it's true because it's in God's Word. But people don't believe that. They don't think that way. They don't think in those terms. I know that because every time you see an athlete or a movie star or a politician who gets caught up in some kind of corrupt scandal, whether it's adultery or lying or drugs or some sort of scandalous, what do they always say? They always say, look, I'm going to sow to the flesh. I'm going to do this, but I'm not going to reach corruption. Nothing's going to happen to me because I did this. And they always, you know, you get that idea that they're exempt, or they're going to be the exception. And most people think that way. I know a lot of people think that way. I think most people, most young people think that way, especially, because they haven't had the life experience that a lot of us have, and understand that this law of sowing and reaping, folks, it's an ironclad law. It's just like gravity. This is the truth. This is the law. And we struggle with that. All of us struggle with that, and sometimes I wonder why we struggle with that. I think the reason that we struggle with that is, I think a lot of us, just got a little bit of arrogance about it. I think all of us think we're just a little bit smarter, don't you, than the average guy? I am. I'm a little bit more smarter. I got a lot more going on than the average guy. And then really, I've got this thing figured out, and I've got so much life, I've got so much potential, so I'm just going to do what I want to do, and you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out later on how to skip out on this harvesting part, because you know what? I'm smart enough to do that. I'm going to be able to do this and skip out on that other. Now, one scholar, and I look at verse 7. I want everybody to look down at Galatians 6, verse 7. I want you to look at those four words. He says this, be not deceived. Do not be deceived. Now, one guy says, you don't make any mistake about that. That's what that means. Make no mistake about it. I want you to understand this morning that you're a farmer, and I promise you that you will reap what you sow. That's the law. That's the law of God. It's God's unbreakable law. Do not be deceived. Don't think you're going to get around this. It's not going to happen. And really, that's not true, actually, in the realm of physical farming a lot. So think about that. You can sow, and get work, and guess what happens sometimes? Blight, roses, dries up. You can work all, and you might not reap a thing. Or you might work, do all this, do everything right, and you might die. And all that work in vain again. So then you never get to reap. You never get to harvest. But this morning I want to be crystal clear that we're not talking about any physical farming. We're talking about your life. We're talking about spiritual farming. We're talking about God's law of life. And what that means is, I promise you, gonna reap what you sow. I need you to think about this. If you die, you're gonna reap what you sow. Even if you die, you're going to reap what you sow. This morning, I want to develop that idea with really four directions in which we're going to go, specific directions. Because I want us to clearly understand what it means to be a spiritual farmer under God's law of life, under God's unbreakable law of life. Genesis chapter 1. You reap what you sow. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. And really, this is a basis of the spiritual law that Paul talks about in Galatians. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 11. Genesis 1, verse 11. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them, and it was so. That's how it works. You plant watermelon, what do you get? Watermelon. Plant strawberries, what do you get? You get strawberries. Reaping what you sow is the law of what? Horticulture, the law of gardening. That's how it works. That's how it is. That's what that means. Now, in fact, there's a lot of examples about that in the Bible, but I want you to look at this example, Genesis 25. Notice, I want to give you a grade A exhibit of the principle of sowing and reaping here by a man named Jacob. Verse 25, we read about a man named Jacob here. And even when he was born, I want you to notice what happened. This is 25. Let's start at verse 25. He says, "Now the first came forth red, all over like a hairy garment." His name was Esau. Here we're talking about twins. "Afterward, his brother came forth with his hand holding on to Esau's heel. So his name is called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old when she gave birth to them," the twins. Well, you know what the word Jacob means? Jacob, the word Jacob literally means to take by the heel. Means cheater. Jacob's name means cheater. I always wondered how that was first day of school. Hey, you guys, I say, hey, you wanna wrap this flag football team here out there? What's your name? Cheater? You need water boy, something else. But his name is Cheater. Think about that. And his life, I'm telling you, Jacob's life, he lived up to his name. He was the consummate con man. He knew how to swindle people. He knew how to use his wit. He knew how to take advantage of everyone, including his own family. Turn the page. Genesis 27. He teaches his brother Esau. In fact, he teaches his wife. Genesis 27, look at verse 36. Then he said, this is Esau, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times." Twice now. And you know, that text literally reads this. Here's how it literally reads. It reads, "Is he not rightly named Jacob because he Jacob me twice?" In fact, he's such a cheater. Jacob's such a cheater. He had to leave town, had to flee for his life. He had to leave home. He went to Haran. When he went to Haran, he went to work for a guy named Laban. Remember that story? So he worked for Laban. And of course, he ended up with two wives when he only wanted one. Remember that story? All of that. Why'd that happen? Well, when you're the kind of person that constantly deceives people, constantly lies to people, cheats people, thwarts people, guess what's going on in your life? There's no trust in that relationship. So sometimes, people start dishing it back to you. And then it comes back around. And I think that's what happened. In fact, Jacob has to flee that part of the country. He leaves Haran in fear of his life. And after he does that, and really on the way out the door, his wife, she lies to her dad, cheats him. And I think, I look at the big picture of all of it. What a relationship that is. That's amazing. And everywhere you look at Jacob's life, what he's doing, he's sowing distrust, he's sowing lies, he's sowing deceit, he's sowing all these con games just as fast as he can. What's going up around him? What's happening in his life? There's a harvest in his life of bitterness and mistrust in his life. Genesis 37. Jacob has some sons later in his life. And his sons hate one of their brothers, Joseph. And they arranged to sell him to slavery. Now they have to go tell Jacob why he isn't coming home. Look at verse 31. He says this, "So they took Joseph's tunic, slaughtered the male goat, dipped the tunic in the blood," or its coat, many colors. We know that story. "And they sent the coat of many colors and brought it to the father and said, 'We found this. Please examine it to see whether it is your son's tunic or not.'" We know what happened. It was. Jacob was distraught. But the master gamesman, he gets fooled. He gets fooled by his own son. He tricked everybody all of his life. And now he's deceived and he's tricked. Which leads you to the summation of his life. Turn over to Genesis 47. Jacob's before Pharaoh. All this is happening. We know the story. It's a long story. It's a great story. I want to meet Joseph. But he's there. "Hey, Pharaoh." Pharaoh looks at Jacob. "Tell me about your life. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I want to get to know you better. Let's talk a while." Look what he says in verse 9 about his life. "Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The years of my sojourning are 130. Few and unpleasant have been the years of my life." 130 years. And all he can say about his life is just been unpleasant. It's not been good. You can't sow bad things in your life and reap a great life. Doesn't work. Now, what's that mean? That means for us, I want you to acknowledge And I want you to recognize and understand that you are a spiritual farmer. And I want you to think about what you're putting in the ground as you're living your life. What kind of seed are you planting? What are you putting in? Maybe you're like Jake. Maybe you think you're just going to go and do whatever you want to do. I've got to do this. I'm going to get by. Maybe, and I think the kind of reason you can Jacob has, but a lot of people have, is that, you know, when the harvest time is, I'm telling you, when the harvest time is, it's not till judgment day. And everybody in here knows the judgment day is never going to come. That's why we get to live like we want to live and do what we want to do, because judgment day is so far away, and I'm not going to have to worry about that. But I just tell you, as I look at these passages, and I think the Bible's warning us in Galatians 6 and 7, that's what Jacob's about. That the law of sowing and reaping, you know when that can happen and does happen? Now. That law happens right now. You don't have to wait till judgment day for that to happen. Jacob didn't have to wait to stand before God for him to figure out that lying and being deceitful was wrong, was a bad idea. How many times, a thousand times over, do you think that Jacob wished his life had been different? That he had lived his life different. But now, too late. The last years of his life, my life's been miserable. My life's been evil. All of that has caught him. What a great summation of his life. Now he's standing in the field. It's all grown up with a harvest full of weeds. That's what he reaped. You know what? You can't scream at your mom and dad. Say, I hate you. I hate living here. I hate everything about it. You can't do that. And several of those relationships, I don't care how old you are, if you're a kid, it's a half or not a half. You can't do those things. You can't say those things. And it's like a year or two goes by, 10 years go by, and you're all going to sit down on Turkey Day like Norman Rockwell has a big pretty picture, have dinner. Doesn't work that way. You can't keep pouring poison down the well year after year after year after year, and then look up one day and say, hey, I just want to put some sweet water in there. It does not work that way. Think about Jake and Laban. You think they had a big 4th of July hamburger party? No! It just happened. It doesn't work that way. Why doesn't it work that way? You reap what you sow. That's the law of God. That's just not true in our relationship. I believe that law is true personally. If I sow idleness, if I sow laziness, If I lack self-control because, I need to be doing some better things. You know what I mean? With my time, I need to be more productive. Guess what? That includes spiritual things, like your prayer life, like reading the Bible every day, like being here when we meet, and dedicating those things that a Christian does and recognizing those things, all of those things. And if you don't do that, is it any surprise that maybe your life is reaping a life of laziness? Slothfulness, you're not doing it. And then we try to excuse ourselves, I don't know what it is about me. I just can't buckle down. Boy, that's good. You reap what you sow. Now, in that process, and you're thinking about that, maybe you ought to ask, what are you sowing? What am I sowing? You know what? When you're 15 years old, I'm going to tell you something. It has a tremendous amount. It has a tremendous effect. How you are when you're 15, how you're going to be when you're 25. And how you're 25 has a tremendous effect how you're going to be when you're 40 and 55. How you're 55, 60 has a tremendous effect how you're going to be when you're 75. It certainly does. All of that does. All right? Because you reap what you sow. Now think about that. There's even more to it than that. Have you ever thought about that you reap more than you sow? You reap more than you sow. Here's a farmer. He went out and planted one corn. He goes out and plants one corn. And he nourishes it, waters it, and takes care of that one corn. And then harvest time comes. And he goes, he gets one corn. But one corn. And he runs in the house and says, hey, baby, harvest time, here it is. And she said, we can't eat that. You've got to go put that back in the ground for next year. And you're saying, that's about how big a farmer I'd be. And so the thing's not working out for me. But that's not how it is. Now you plant one corn, that's not how farming works. You put one corn in the ground, what do you get? You get a big plant that's got 12, 18 ears on it, and every one of those ears, they got 100 kernels. You just can't sell, all of that.
You plant watermelon, what do you got? You got a field of watermelon. It's got a million seeds in it. All that happens when you plant does. Sure it does. You just get more than you plant. Always. Thank God for that. You know what? It's true of sin, too. You always get more than you bargain for with sin. All right? You get way more. You get a little sin, but you know what? A whole bunch. A whole bunch more comes rolling in when you just plant that one. Here's mom and dad. They argue, they fuss, they fight. They divorce. They're depressed. They feel bad. They're miserable. But now wait for it. Wait for it. They're not the only ones, are they? No, they're not. No, because their kids get a bucket load of that. And they're scared to death about marriage. They read the Bible, they don't believe it. The Bible says marriage is a great and awesome thing. It's the best relationship you can have on this earth, somebody. But they don't believe that because of what they're saying. There's Paul out there. So you get way more than you bargained for. The reaping time, yes, a lot more than what you sunk. How about a little church gossip going on? Yeah, we get somebody to say something, and then that takes fire, and then people repeat it. Then there might be a battle or two about people battling that, trying to fight against it. And then there's more gossip. Then there's more hateful attitudes. Then there's distrust. Then there's anger. Then there's polarization. Then the next thing you know, we've got two or three churches of Christ meeting in the same building because they're all centered apart, and everybody knows that they're the ones, the way it's wrong. My way's right, your way's wrong. And that goes on. One little thing said. You think about that. A lot of times, we reap way more than we sow. Well, that's how it works. That's a pretty dark note. But you know what? It works in reverse. Turn back to the chapter, Galatians 6. Paul's talking about obligations of teachers there. That's what he's talking about. I want you to look at verse 6 again. Well, really, the first time. He says, the one who is taught. He's talking about teachers. The one who's taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he will reap. One sows the flesh. Flesh reaps corruption. One sows the spirit. Well, spirit reaps eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. All right. Talk about teachers here. And particularly preaching and teaching. But you see the point? We're going to reap a rich harvest of a lot of blessings by doing that. In other words, you do good, it has a way of producing more good and more good. It's just that the sowing to the Spirit, when you do that, you know, that's true. You can think about some of that in your own life. The person who gets out of the me zone and who feeds the needs of others and helps others and is there to be there for others, to do those things that a lot of folks don't do. Take time to write the notes, to visit in on others. They just have great relationships with other people. You ever see that? You ever know somebody like that? And people care about those kind of people. And people see that in people because, you know, and just that, and just think they reap more than they sow a lot of times. We've done that. Sometimes it's just a little act, the time to feed, the fewest words. Sometimes it's just inviting somebody to church. How tough is that? I read on a book, really it's a book of conversion stories a guy put together. I read, there's a couple in Pennsylvania, Ray and Loretta Kipp. And really it's a story, a book of conversion about how people came to Christ. Well, Ray and Loretta were disgruntled about religion. And they've been disgruntled for a long time. They bounced around. They finally ended up, I think, at a Methodist church. That's where they were. They really weren't happy. And one day, Ray's cousin called him and said, hey, did you see the letter of the Evans? And the guy wrote a letter to the Evans saying how he was so dissatisfied with church and religion, what had become to him. So liberal, so non-Bible, nobody reads the Bible anymore, blah, blah, blah. And Ray said, I'm going to call that guy. So Ray called that guy. And the guy said, yeah, yeah, he said, I'm with you, blah, 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 blah. And he said, I even got a letter. The guy said, I got a letter from somebody in Church of Christ. Have you ever heard about Church of Christ? And they said, no. He said, well, this guy wrote me a letter. And so the guy gave Ray that letter, all right, and the contact information. And the guy's name was Danny Freeman. And it ended up Danny Freeman went to Ray and Loretta's house and taught Ray and Loretta the gospel. And Ray and Loretta and Pennsylvania Bay the gospel. And I was like, hundreds, they tried to add up how many families and neighbors
were affected by just that happening. Danny Freeman seen an opportunity, planted the seed. Look at the result. That's what's meant by this. How on this side, you just sow a little bit, but look at the reason. And it's amazing. And so he sows, and all those good things repeat. But, you know, I'm just saying that so that you don't give up if you don't, you know, nobody pats you on the back, if you don't get voted Christian of the week. But I want you to think about farmers and when they reap what they sow. You know, you reap a lot of times more than you sow and more than you know sometimes. Keep that in mind. In fact, I think it's a very underappreciated part of all of this. Turn to Luke chapter 15. You know what? We reap longer than we sow. Sometimes the process of sowing is a very short period of time, but the reaping just goes on and on and on. Luke 15, you know, the prodigal son. Verse 11, he said to him, the man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together, went on a journey, different journey. There he squandered his estate with loose living. It don't take long to burn through money. Party on, guard. We're going to burn through it. I tell you what, it doesn't take long to burn through money, especially if you got people that are helping you to burn through money. That's what happened here. So he's sown here. Just takes a couple days, maybe. Maybe a few weeks, but not very long. Now look at verse 14. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country. He began to be a poverty. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would gladly fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving him anything to him. Wow. Just a little bit of sowing, just a little bit of blowing that money and standing and whoring around. Yeah, that's great, that's good. Look here. How long? How long is he reaping? I'll tell you what, there's anything about the human body. You know that it can go a long time right on the edge of starvation. I'm looking at this, I'm like a few days spending money. Months? How long have you been reaping what you sowed? Harvest is there. Tons and tons of reaping. Months and months because we sowed just that little bit. You reap more than you sow. You reap longer than you sow. Don't forget it. That's how it works. For example, for a few moments of sexual pleasure with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you can reap a lifetime with a child. You think about that. For a brief moment with alcohol, hit it, drink it, and you might find out you're that guy that has that special addiction that can't shake it. And because that moment or two that you had, you can't put it down now, you're reaping a lifetime of that. Oh, and health-wise, you might end up in rehab. You're trying to quit the chance. And really, that's how most addictive behaviors end up anyway. Men, you watching porn? Just think about that. Just that brief what you're sowing there. And someday you may wake up and realize the relationship with your wife is impaired and you just don't know why. That's what you're sowing there. And now you've used women so long as objects of pleasure. That's what you're sowing. I'm going to tell you what, the harvest time keeps coming and coming for you. And it impairs how you relate to the real person that you've given your heart and life to. You need to think about that. Someone says, well, okay. I get all that. I understand that. I hear what you're saying. You know what? I'm going to get down the road, and I'm going to change, and I'm going to get better. I'm going to do all this and all that. Well, that's good. That's good. But I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out. I'm going to tell you what a lot of people find out. What they find out is that it's really hard to sow new habits. It's really, really hard to make a new life. It's really, really hard to do a new character. What a complete makeover. Why is that? Because there has been so much weed growing up in your life. You have harvested a lifetime, a habit of weed. Can't get them out. That's why there are alcohol treatment centers. That's why there are treatment centers for drug addicts. Can't get through them. That's why there's counseling and treatment centers for porn addicts. Because you just keep on reaping what you have sown. Over and over again. You understand why that is? Look at the prophet Hosea. I love the prophet Hosea. That's how that works. Hosea chapter 8. He told God's people, Israel, they're worse than idols. Hosea chapter 8. Notice what he says in verse 7. You sown the wind. Going to reap the whirlwind. This can't sow the wind, let's reap the whirlwind. The same grain has no head. It yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. There are now among the nations like a vessel in which no one delights. For they have gone to Assyria like a wild donkey. Alone, Ephraim is hired lovers. Look what God responds, verse 13. As for my sacrificial gift, they sacrifice the flesh and eat it. But the Lord has taken no delight in them. Now he will remember their iniquity and punish them for their sins. They will return to Egypt, the prophet said. God has decreed it this way. God's made it this way. That's why it's like it is. Because God is determined to punish sin. And what are we saying? You know what? I can get away with it. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to throw. Well, the hardest day comes, I'll find a way to get around it. You're not going to get around it. Just kidding yourself. God will gather you up and God will punish you. However enticing it is, I'm telling you, however alluring it is, however pleasing, however pleasurable, the harvest of suffering, the harvest of sadness, the harvest of misery that's going to come from it, it is not worth it. It is not worth it, and it's way more than you've ever bargained for. What's that saying? Sin always takes you further than you wanted to go, keeps you longer than you wanted to stay. Yeah, it's true because you reap more than you sow. That's why that's true. The prodigal learned that, Israel learned that. You reap longer than you want to sow. You did it. The harvest, it just keeps coming. Which means this is an important point. You need to understand you're going to reap much later a lot of times than you sow. A lot later sometimes than you sow. Well, I know what you're thinking about sometimes, and I thought about this the first time I heard that. Of course, everything here has been difficult, but you can think about the law of reaping and sowing. When you first hear that, you think, I don't know. I know a lot of people. They're good people. I don't know if they're serious. I'm not serious. I don't care about God. But I'm telling you why. They got the best cars, got the best house, got the best job, got plenty of money, party on guard. They don't have to worry about doing nothing. This place, and they're doing pretty good. I don't see much reaping going on there, man. Are you thinking that? I mean, they're sowing. Check it out. What a lot they're living. Isn't that exactly what we think sometimes? You know what? God knew we think that way. I know he knew we think that way. So get the past. Psalm 73. Asaph thought that way. Why don't you look at verse 3? So let's go to 2. He says, but as for me, Psalm 73, verse 2. He says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My step had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant. That's those outside. And I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no pains in their death, and their body is fat. They're not in trouble as other men. They're not plagued like mankind. Looking at all this. He's looking at all the folks out there sowing and sowing and sowing and having a good life. Come on, God, what's happening now? Look at everything. So, where's all the reasoning that all these folks going through? Huh? What are you talking about, this law? What's that? That's what he says to meditate on here a minute. Verse 17. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. Then you realize. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction, he said. When Asaph came to understand, what he came to understand is what many of you ought to understand, and that is that in this law of reaping and sowing, time is involved. There's a process of time that is involved. Sowing and reaping is exactly that. It's a process over time. And God allows the sowing and reaping, the reaping part, to be on his time and to be on his walk. And you know, God doesn't pay off everything right now. He's going to pay it off right now. You can sow and sow and sow and sow,
and there might not be any reaping. You know what? The harvest will come. It's going to come. It's the law. You can't get away with it. You plant, one day, I promise you, you're going to reap it.
That's true. Eternal sin, wages are paid half. Eternal. But it's always true temporal. Always. Here on this earth, you just give it time. You just give it time. I'm going to tell you, the harvest will come. Now on this letter to the editor of a 34-year-old woman that wrote. What she said. She says, I'm 34 years old. I had my first abortion when I was 17. I had a second abortion when I was 21. Yet I became pregnant for a third time. My boyfriend cared so little for me that he couldn't make time in his schedule to take me to the abortion clinic. So I ended up having the third child. That's what kills me now. The child that was inside of me the last time I was contemplating abortion was already a little boy. She looks like me. She's become the sweetest, most giving child that I could ever imagine. She writes me little notes. She sings me songs when I don't expect it. She has made my life more than I could ever dream. And yet, despite the rich blessing he gives my life, here's where I am. The other morning, he turned on a TV show, and there was a chorus of kids singing. As I watched them, my little boy said to me, why are you crying, Mom? How? Tell me how to explain to an 8-year-old the emptiness that never goes away, and that I always feel when I hear children singing. My children now would have been long past a few days. They would have been that terrible time when parents wished for a retroactive abortion, but I don't even know if they would have been boys or girls or one of these. But I do know that they were both people like Joshua, that they would have become as dear to me as he is now. They had a purpose in this world, and I will never know anything about them, not ever. She sowed selfishness. She sowed immorality. She sowed debt. You know what? The harvest came. It took 17 years for her, but the harvest came. One more thing. You know, this law about reaping what you sow cannot be broken. I want you to think about this. If you're sowing nothing, you sow nothing, you're going to reap nothing. You're going to reap nothing. Sometimes it's much worse than that. If we do nothing, we get nothing. And when it comes to the business of this local congregation of Christ, the business of taking care of business, spiritual and physical, if you're not doing what you have an obligation and responsibility to do, whether that be the role of an elder, whether that be the role of a deacon, whether that be the role of a preacher, a teacher, whether that be whatever your role is, because trust me, you have a role. If you're a member of this body, you are a member that should be functioning in light of this body, for this body, to keep this body scriptural, to keep this body whole and running properly. If you're not doing that, what kind of harvest do you think this place is going to have? If we're not doing anything, the harvest? Come back to Galatians 6. I want to notice this in closing. The word about not being deceived, Paul adds it, don't kid yourself, don't make any mistake about it. But look at these words that he says in Galatians 6. God is not mocked. What's that mean? Literally, that's the only place that those three words, those words come up in the New Testament. God's not mocked. And what it means is that you can't turn your nose up. At God, at the justice of God, you can't jeer at, you can't sneer at the law of cause and effect that God has set into motion. In other words, you can't trick God into blessing you. You can't trick God into blessing you. If you sown to the planet, if you sown to the world, if you sown nothing, you're not going to trick God. Because God will not be mocked. Get sown the trap. Look, we're all farmers. Don't ever think you can sow your wild oats right now and get by with it. Don't ever think you can just send a little bit and think that's it. Don't ever think you won't get caught. Nobody will ever know. I must not ever think that I can sow the world somehow and I can take care of that reaping part later. Doesn't work. That's not going to work. I can need to know that, you know, a lot of times the harvest is a lot more than I sowed. I need to remember that. And I need to remember, if I'm not working in this garden like I should, if I'm not working in the church like I should, don't be surprised. If you're not sowing anything here, that in a few years, this place won't look anything like it looks now. This garden here, gonna have a bunch of weeds growing up in it. Almost be unrecognizable. Be careful in that. You will reap what you sow. It is God's unbreakable law. You reap what you sow. Please come. Together we stand and sing the invitation song.